Imagine a town with straight-A public schools, thousands of high-paying tech jobs, and literally zero murders last year.
Right. It sounds like an absolute suburban utopia, you
And
know?
it really does. So why is this exact same town suddenly having to like pass a hat around to his residents just to fix the potholes in the street?
Yeah, it sounds like a math error, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you look at a place that's just overflowing with resources, and you naturally assume the basic mechanics of running the town are covered.
Like paving a road.
Exactly. But wealth actually creates its own incredibly expensive gravity.
Well, today we've got a really fascinating deep dive lined up for you all. We are looking at a brand new, I mean, massive, data-heavy July 2026 urban and economic analysis of Collierville, Tennessee.
And it was produced by Memphis TV and the Memphis Times, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
But the mission here for us isn't just to look at the ledgers of, one specific southern town.
No, we're using this report to decode the anatomy of a successful modern American suburb.
Exactly. We want to figure out what happens when a wealthy town just stops expanding outward and has to figure out how to manage its own expensive success.
And the central tension in this analysis is brilliant because it challenges, well, basically everything we think we know about municipal growth.
Because on paper, Collierville is pulling straight A's, right?
Oh, absolutely. We are talking about incredibly high median incomes, elite educational outcomes, and that zero murder statistic from the 2025 preliminary data.
But underneath all those perfect grades, the town is instituting a new $5 monthly street fee.
Yeah, and they're hiking up sanitation fees too, just to keep the asphalt from crumbling under the weight of their own economic engine.
So if you're a resident paying a premium just to live there, you'd assume the local tax base is just rolling in cash to support you.
You would think so, yeah.
But when you look at who is actually driving on these roads and who is footing the bill, the math gets super messy. So let's start with the people and the property.
Because you really can't understand a town's economy without knowing who is actually able to walk through the front door.
Right. And the explosive suburban boom we saw in the 2010s, where subdivisions were just popping up overnight, that is officially over.
It is. The population data here paints a picture of a town that has essentially hit an invisible wall.
The numbers are pretty stark, aren't they?
Very. So the Census Bureau estimates Collierville's population at 51,909 for July 2025.
Which is what? Barely any growth?
Yeah, that's a minuscule 1.4% growth since 2020.
Wow.
Now, to be fair, the town's own internal planners estimate the population is closer to 55,789.
Okay, so a bit higher.
Right, there's always a gap between federal and local estimates, mostly because local funding depends on those headcounts. But whichever number you believe, the breakneck sprawling growth of the past decade has absolutely stalled.
And when you look at the socioeconomic reality of who is living there, you really start to understand why the growth hit a wall.
Yeah, it's not what people might assume.
No, it's not that outdated mid-century stereotype of a totally homogeneous suburb. It is incredibly diverse, but it is uniformly affluent.
Right, the demographics are really interesting. We're looking at a population that is 13.8% Asian, 10.8% Black, and 5% Hispanic.
And layered on top of that, diversity is just this intense concentration of formal education and wealth.
It's staggering. An astonishing 62.5% of adults in Collierville hold a bachelor's degree or higher.
Which is huge. And to put that into perspective for you listening, the median household income is sitting at $138,598.
Yeah, that is more than twice the median income of the broader Shelby County area.
Which brings us to the housing barrier, because obviously that wealth affects real estate.
Oh, massively. The median value for an owner-occupied home in the census data is around $485,900.
But if you look at the actual market data from Redfin, this is for the spring of 2026, closed sales were pushing nearly $530,000.
And you have to add in the fact that this is a town heavily, I mean, heavily reliant on single-family homes.
Right, they boast nearly an 80% owner occupancy rate.
Exactly. The rental market is just a tiny fraction of the housing stock.
It makes me think of Collierville's housing market like an incredibly exclusive nightclub.
Oh, I love that analogy.
Right. Like the club is packed, the music is great, everybody wants to be there, but they've suddenly just stopped handing out VIP passes at the door.
Yeah, they hit capacity.
The population growth didn't stall because people don't want to live in Collierville anymore. It stopped because the cover charge to get in just got way too steep.
Way too steep.
Between the $500,000 entry prices, high interest rates, and virtually no apartments, a massive chunk of the population is just mathematically locked out.
And here's the catch with that. When you stop handing out those VIP passes, the people already inside the club have to start putting for the DJ and the lighting entirely by themselves.
Which raises a major red flag for the town's 10-year outlook, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Because they're running out of empty fields to annex, they can't rely on sprawling new subdivisions to bring in fresh tax revenue.
So what do they do instead?
They have to rely on what planners call infill development.
Which basically means finding an empty parking lot or a vacant parcel inside the existing town limits and trying to build something new there.
Exactly. And that is a completely different, much more expensive real estate game.
How so?
Well, it requires upgrading existing pipes, dealing with intense neighborhood pushback, things like that.
Oh, sure.
And the main equity risk, the analysts point out here, isn't the traditional gentrification we see in urban centers.
Right, where wealthy buyers displace low-income renters.
Exactly. Here, it's something called exclusionary appreciation. The property values just drift so high organically that they create an invisible moat.
So a new public school teacher, or a young family starting out, or even a municipal worker operating the town's water treatment plant, they might find it fundamentally impossible to buy into the town they actually serve.
Precisely. They were completely priced out.
Wait, I'm stuck on something, though. We've established this massive cover charge to live in Collierville. But what is generating the wealth to pay that charge?
That's a great question.
I mean, these residents aren't just printing money in their basements. If we look at the jobs, this isn't just a sleepy bedroom community where everyone drives 30 miles to an office in Memphis every morning, is it?
No, not at all. It has become a major suburban employment center in its own right.
Yeah, the corporate anchors located inside the town limits are massive.
You have the FedEx World Technology Center, which brings in 4,400 IT workers alone.
Plus, there is a huge carrier manufacturing facility employing another 1,500 workers.
And the Baptist Memorial Hospital recently doubled its ICU capacity, making it a true regional healthcare hub.
In total, the town has over 2.25 million square feet of Class A office space.
And when we say Class A, we aren't talking about aging strip malls.
Right. Now.
We mean top-tier, highly amenitized corporate real estate that traditionally brings in massive commercial tax revenue.
Okay, but I have to push back a little on this whole tech hub and advanced logistics label the town might want to claim.
Oh, why is that?
Because the physical reality on the ground paints a much more chaotic picture. Collierville is almost entirely auto-dependent.
That is very true.
The mean commute is over 25 minutes. There is virtually zero fixed-route public transit from the regional authority.
Right. The MATA buses just don't really run there.
And looking at the 2025 data, there were 12,109 traffic crashes and 5 fatalities.
Which is a lot for a suburb.
Yeah. So if you have thousands of tech workers, a massive hospital, and global supply chain facilities, but practically zero public transit and over 1,000 car crashes a year, aren't you essentially just building a 20th century traffic jam for a 21st century workforce?
Well, that right there is the defining structural tension of the whole report.
Really?
Yeah, and it completely explains the paradox of that $5 street fee we started with.
Okay, break that down for me.
Well, why does a town with million-dollar corporate campuses need to nickel and dime its residents for asphalt?
Right.
Because those massive facilities, the logistics hubs, the advanced manufacturing, the hospital, a car, they draw tens of thousands of cars from outside the town's borders.
Oh, I see.
People are driving in from northern Mississippi, from Fayette County, from all over the region every single day.
Ah, so they are essentially wearing down Collierville's roads, but paying their property taxes in Mississippi.
Exactly. Collierville gets the traffic jam. Mississippi gets the tax check.
Wow. That captures the dynamic perfectly.
Yeah. The regional commuters are externalizing the cost of their drive onto Collierville's municipal budget.
So the town has to maintain the heavy-duty infrastructure of a regional economic hub. You know, 4-lane arterial roads, complex synchronized traffic lights, constant repaving.
But it primarily funds itself through residential property taxes and local sales tax.
The commercial tax base helps, obviously, but it doesn't cover the sheer physical degradation of the roads.
Right. So the new street fee is a dedicated mechanism designed specifically to raise the town's paving capacity by 11 lane miles a year, because the wear and tear is fundamentally outpacing what the general fund can absorb.
Exactly.
Which brings us to the general fund itself and how this town actually chooses to spend its wealth.
This is where it gets really interesting.
Because all those corporate campuses and all those high-income homeowners paying that steep cover charge, they demand elite municipal services.
They absolutely do.
So let's crack open the ledger The undisputed crown jewel of Collierville, the thing that really drives the property values, is the education system.
Right, Collierville schools. It is undeniably their biggest strategic asset.
And for context for our listeners, this municipal school system was formed back in 2014, right?
Yeah, after Memphis and Shelby County merged their school districts.
Collierville decided to break off, take over the physical school buildings located inside their town limits, and create their own completely independent school district.
And strictly looking at the academic results, you have to say the maneuver worked.
Oh, for sure. They boast a 73.5% math proficiency rate.
Yeah. And to put that in perspective, a peer suburban district in the same region, like Bartlett, is sitting at 55.6%.
That's a huge gap. But having your own independent district is kind of like opting out of the county carpool to buy a bespoke high-performance Ferrari.
That's a great way to put it. When you share a county minivan, everyone chips in for gas and maintenance.
Right.
But when you own the Ferrari, you get to drive as fast as you want, but you are the only one paying the specialty mechanic.
Exactly. It looks amazing in the driveway, and it outperforms everyone else on the track.
Yeah.
But when the transmission breaks, you know, say you have a sudden spike in special education costs.
Or the state of Tennessee abruptly changes its funding formula.
Right. Or you just need to build a brand new high school to alleviate overcrowding. You can no longer share that massive bill with the rest of the county.
No. You have to pay the specialty mechanic completely out of your own pocket.
Which is terrifying from a budget perspective.
Well, the financial analysts in the report define this as fiscal concentration risk.
Physical concentration risk. Okay.
Yeah. Collierville has total unfettered autonomy over its schools and its services. And the residents love that control.
Of course they do.
But they bear the full, undiluted brunt of all capital needs. If a high school roof fails or a curriculum needs a multi-million dollar overhaul, the local taxpayers are solely on the hook.
And when we look at the town's fiscal year 2027 general fund budget, which sits at roughly $89.87 million, the schools aren't even the only Ferrari in the garage.
No, they are not.
A staggering $42.4 million, which is about 47% of the entire general fund, goes exclusively to public safety, police, and fire.
Almost half the budget.
I have to ask, how does a town that had zero murders in 2025 and saw its total criminal offenses actually drop spend almost half its budget on police and fire? I mean, what is that $42 million actually buying?
It seems entirely counterintuitive, doesn't it?
Totally.
But you have to look at the geography and the expectations of the residents. That $42 million isn't really buying aggressive, reactive crime fighting.
Then what is it buying?
It is buying capacity and readiness across a sprawling suburban footprint. Because the town is spread out over massive residential acreages rather than stacked in dense, efficient city blocks, fire trucks and ambulances literally have to travel much further to reach a home.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. You are paying a premium for the geographic sprawl itself to guarantee a 4-minute emergency response time.
So you have to build more fire stations, buy more trucks, and hire more paramedics just to cover the physical distance.
Even if those paramedics are just sitting at the station waiting for a call, exactly.
Right.
Add in the complex logistics of managing daily highway crashes from those regional commuters we talked about, and protecting those massive, multi-million square foot corporate facilities.
So the town is basically paying for a shield of invincibility.
That's a good way to phrase it, yeah.
But who is actually paying for that shield? Because this is where the demographic data starts to bite back.
It really does. This is a subtle mechanic in the tax code, but it is super critical.
Well, hey, lay it on me.
16% of Collierville's population is over the age of 65.
Okay.
And under Tennessee law, many older adults qualify for property tax freezes.
Which is a policy designed to protect seniors on fixed incomes from being priced out of their homes as property values skyrocket.
Oh, exactly. It's well-intentioned.
So let's walk through the math on that. If the town's expenses keep going up, like if the specialty mechanic needs more money for the schools, if the police and fire budget swells to $42 million, and inflation drives up the cost of paving a road by 10%,
right.
But 16% of the population has their property taxes legally frozen, who makes up the difference?
The other 84%.
Wow.
The burden of funding all of that municipal overhead shifts disproportionately onto the working age homeowners.
So the people who are currently fighting tooth and nail to pay those $500,000 entry prices are the ones carrying the engine for the entire town.
Yep. And if that working age population were to shrink, or if housing values were to suddenly stagnate, the financial math for the town gets very dangerous very quickly.
Man. Okay, so we spent a lot of time establishing that this is a high-performing, incredibly high-cost system for the people inside the club.
Right.
But I want to talk about the hidden cracks in the facade. Because no system is perfect, and we need to look at what happens to the people who fall through the cracks of a perfectly manicured suburb.
And this is where the report really pulls back the curtain on a reality you simply cannot see just by driving down the main landscape boulevards.
Yeah.
Collierville has an official poverty rate of 3.2%.
Which, on a national scale, looks remarkably, almost unbelievably low.
It does. But the report suggests that 3.2% is highly deceptive.
Why is that?
Because the sheer cost of housing in the area obscures the true financial burden on a huge portion of the workforce.
Right. Think about a service worker making $15 or $20 an hour.
Exactly. That is the kind of worker absolutely essential to run the restaurants on the town square, to clean the hospital rooms, or to stock the shelves in the retail corridors.
But a 3.2% poverty line doesn't capture the reality at all because the median rent in Collierville is almost $1,700 a month.
Right. So you have a lot of households that are technically earning above the federal poverty line, but they are deeply, deeply cost burdened by housing.
And that leads to a phenomenon the report identifies as hidden homelessness.
Yes, which is a crucial point.
When we think of homelessness, the immediate image is often urban street homelessness, tents on sidewalks.
Sure.
But in a suburb like Collierville, it takes a much different form,
It
right?
does. It is largely invisible. It's managed quietly through the school system via McKinney-Vento services.
And McKinney-Vento is a federal law that protects the educational rights of students who lack fixed, regular, and adequate housing.
Exactly. So instead of formal adult shelters, which simply do not exist in Collierville, you have families doubling or tripling up in single-family apartments or living week to week in motels.
So the local food pantries and the school resource officers essentially become the frontline safety net.
That's exactly what's happening.
Looking at the mechanics of this municipal model, it raises a really tough question about how suburbs operate.
It sure does.
If Collierville completely relies on service workers, retail staff, and hospital orderlies to function, but they offer zero fixed route public transit and virtually no affordable rental housing, aren't they essentially outsourcing their poverty to Memphis?
Well, the analysts definitely view that dynamic as a massive structural vulnerability.
I mean, it looks like a system designed to hoard the lucrative corporate tax base, the FedExes and the carriers, while expecting the neighboring city to build the affordable housing and handle the lower wage workforce that actually keeps Collierville running.
And regardless of the politics around that, a town simply cannot operate without a diverse labor force.
Right.
If the people who pour the coffee, fix the plumbing, and staff the emergency rooms cannot afford to live in the town and cannot take a bus to get there, the local economy eventually chokes.
So what does the report suggest?
Well, it doesn't suggest that Collierville needs to build a massive urban-style shelter system.
That wouldn't really match their density anyway.
Right, but they explicitly warn that relying entirely on Memphis to absorb these social and housing pressures is operationally fragile.
So how does a town that relies on a $42 million police and fire budget handle social services then? What is the actual solution they propose?
The report recommends creating a no-wrong-door referral system.
A no-wrong-door system.
Yeah. Currently, if a family in Collierville faces a crisis, say an eviction or a medical bankruptcy, the resources are completely fragmented.
Oh, I see.
There might be a food pantry at a church, a resource center at the school, and a local nonprofit, but they just don't talk to each other.
So the greatest barrier for a resident in crisis is just finding the information in the first place.
Exactly. A coordinated no-wrong-door system links the town departments, the hospital, the schools, and regional nonprofits.
So it means that no matter where a resident asks for help, whether it's a teacher or a firefighter, they get plugged into the entire support network instantly.
That's the goal, yes.
And it's not just economic cracks in the facade they have to patch, right? There are environmental realities catching up to the infrastructure, too.
Oh, big time.
The report maps out FEMA flood zones intersecting with aging neighborhoods. They highlight the impact of extreme heat on the asphalt and severe weather threatening the power grid.
It all circles back to the core theme we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Maintaining success is shockingly expensive.
Because you aren't just repaving roads.
No, you are ripping up mid-century drainage pipes and expanding them to handle 21st century superstorms, just to keep the floodwaters out of $500,000 living rooms.
So let's bring this all together for you listening right now. Why should you care about the municipal ledgers of Collierville, Tennessee?
It's a great question.
Because this town is the ultimate crystal ball for the mature American suburb as we navigate the late 2020s. It proves that the absolute hardest part of running a city isn't the initial growth phase.
No, throwing up subdivisions on cheap land is easy.
The real test is figuring out how to maintain aging, massive infrastructure, and support a changing population without completely pricing out the very people who keep the gears turning.
It requires a fundamental shift in mindset.
Right.
It is the transition from rapid expansion to desperate preservation. And managing that transition requires a completely different set of policy tools and a lot of hard conversations with taxpayers.
And I want to leave you with a brand new forward-looking thought that builds on everything we've uncovered today.
Okay, let's hear it.
The report notes that FedEx has 4,400 IT workers assigned to that massive corporate campus in town. But it flags hybrid work as a medium risk to the local economy.
Right, remote work.
Yeah. If remote work continues to permanently detach the geography of where we work from where we live, will the very concept of a premium suburb collapse?
Wow. It is a profound existential risk. Because remember, that massive commercial tax base is exactly what subsidizes that $42 million shield of invincibility.
Exactly. Think about it. If those massive corporate office parks hollow out because thousands of IT workers are logging in from their laptops in cheaper counties or different states, who is going to be left to pay that $90 million municipal tab?
That is the big question.
I invite you to take a hard look at your own town's budget this week. Look at how much of your local lifestyle relies on commercial real estate, and wonder what happens when the boom finally stops in your neighborhood.
Because as Collierville is learning, even when the lawn looks perfectly green, somebody still has to pay the water bill.